Hey, I'm Sam. You're listening to Intuit. This episode is going to talk about a few pop culture headlines from the week, including the return of Fyre Festival. Yes, you heard that right. Fyre Fest, the one where people got stranded on an island and none of the performers showed up and ticket holders had to sleep in FEMA tents and have the saddest plate lunches of all time. It's back. So Billy McFarland, who went to jail for organizing the first Fyre Fest, he says he's going to do it again. And this time, the most expensive tickets are close to $8,000.
You know what you could get for $8,000? You could almost get two Cartier bracelets. You could have tangible
things. You could go to Beyonce
things.
Like twice.
You could go to Beyonce twice. You might be able to buy some Taylor Swift's Masters. You could do a lot.
You could buy 7 seconds of Dear John with $8,000.
There's so many other things you could do for $8,000 besides possibly get stranded in the Caribbean.
More on Fyre Fest and other things after this break.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
In 2022, Team Milk came together by sponsoring female marathon runners for the marathon in New York City. Today, they're more than 20,000 strong. In 2024, Team Milk is making an even bigger commitment to female runners and launching the only women's marathon in the U.S., designed for and by women. The inaugural Every Woman's Marathon will take place in Savannah, Georgia on November 16, 2024. You can learn more and register for the marathon at everywomansmarathon.com.
Hello, this is Intuit with Sam Sanders and Jay Jordan guest hosting, featuring saying hello. This is the show, the Vulture Podcast, where we talk about pop culture and we decide whether you are into it or not into it.
That was exquisitely done. Thank you so much. Listeners, he's already introduced himself. You know his voice. He's a regular on this show. Comedian, TV writer, noted bisexual, Jay Jordan. We're in it together to play a game, which you already described so beautifully. I like this. Thank you for doing this work.
Thank you. How are you doing? Listen, I'm asking you both literally, metaphysically, figuratively, emotionally, with everything that has been thrown at that place where you choose to live, what is going on over there?
I have been feeling like, and this has been a few weeks now, remember when there was a spate of movies all about climate change?
Mm-hmm.
The Day After Tomorrow and some other ones.
Hold on, Jack. Are you suggesting these weather anomalies are going to continue?
Not just continue, get worse. I think we're on the verge of a major climate shift.
I'm starting to feel like Angelenos are at the beginning of a climate change disaster film.
Yeah.
And we're doing all of the foolish things you think that Angelenos would do.
Dancing in flood water.
Dancing in flood water. Check out our best hurricane fits. There were people at the beach when the rain was falling, and there were like news crews out there being like, well, are you ready? And they're like, for what? For what? It's, we're not well, Jay, and we deserve whatever happens to us.
Not just a hurricane and then an earthquake.
And you know what people did? You know what people did in Los Angeles when there was a hurricane and an earthquake in the same day?
Mm-hmm.
They didn't start doing the rosary. They didn't start trying to, you know, flee. They were like, how can I turn hurricane into a Halloween costume?
Wow.
Anywho, if I'm going to be in a climate change movie, which I already am, mm-hmm. I'm going to need a residuals check because I have been performing the role.
Listen, SAG's on strike, WGA's on strike, so they had to bring in some live performances from the ocean.
Who directs your climate change catastrophe movie?
Ooh, I would love someone with a hot hand right now. Get Greta. Get not Thunberg. Get Greta. Although she could direct it.
She could direct the climate.
What if it was the two Gretas, Greta Gerwig and Greta Thunberg? And it's a Barbie climate change movie.
Barbie is living through climate change, and we are seeing it through Barbie.
Okay, once again, as a Double Guild member, I'm not promoting anything. I'm just tossing out ideas. I'm just thinking about stuff. That's it. Barbie 2, Hurricane Boogaloo. Yeah.
I haven't, that laugh is one that only comes out like once every 6 weeks. You're welcome. You're welcome. All right, here we go. As my wonderful frequent guest, and now let's just say co-host Jay explained, we're going to play a game to get through some big pop culture stories from the week. It's called Into It, Not Into It. I share the story. Jay just lets me know if he's into it or not. You know the drill. Let's get to it. First question, Jay, are you into or not into Scooter Braun, perhaps the most successful music talent manager of our time? Are you into him reportedly losing most of his biggest clients within a week? Ariana Grande, Demi Lovato, Idina Menzel, and Justin Bieber have reportedly dropped Scooter in the last week. Mm-hmm. We into it?
I am into it. I think that if Taylor Swift has shown us anything, is that life post-Scooter can be amazing and you
there
can
you
flourish.
Go.
I'm into these people leaving. What I'm not into is the fact that it's taken a long time to figure out what happened. I'm not into this delayed, slow drip.
Yeah. After day two or three, I was like, I'm going to go ahead and need Ronan Farrow to get on the case because I want you to know.
Yeah.
I need some investigative work on this white man, and I need Ronan to do it.
Yeah, Ronan Farrow, stop worrying about Elon Musk.
We already know about Elon.
We need to focus on what's important. Scooter Braun.
Scooter Braun. So apparently, there are still a lot of big questions about this. Some anonymous sources have been confirming these departures to news outlets. Other reps for some of these artists have said no and have been denying some of these charges.
Hmm.
And there's also sources saying that there are some things that are going to come out about Scooter that reveal that he's not a good man. But other folks are saying, oh, it's just business. So Scooter Braun is stepping into a larger role at a company called Hybe America. And Hybe is the South Korean company that basically runs K-pop.
Okay.
It is a label. It's a talent agency. Uh-huh. It's a production company. It does events and concerts and publishing. So what if all of this is just like Scooter Braun being like, y'all Americans aren't making me enough money anymore. I'm going to go ahead and let K-pop take care of me. Maybe it's just that.
He's becoming even more powerful. This is like when you play a video game and you kill the big boss. And then there's a cutscene where like your character is like breathing hard and you're like, okay, I'm so glad that was over. But then you look and there's a loading screen and you're like, why is there another loading screen? I just beat this guy. Boom, he comes back bigger, stronger. He's able to take more of your favorite pop stars' money and have their rights to their songs and their masters. What if he takes over K-pop? That means he's going to be evil in two different languages? What?
I will say, if he can create a K-pop Justin Bieber and all the hilarity that would bring.
K-pop
imagine.
Justin Bieber, if done right, that person will run the world.
K-pop Justin Bieber could be the American president by 2040.
Oh my God. They would remove the you have to be 35 rule. They'd be like, nah.
Bring him in.
Yeah,
everyone loves him. Yeah, yeah.
K-pop Justin Bieber?
K-pop Justin Bieber, yeah. Anywho, I guess Scooter will get away with it because he kind of gets away with everything. We'll all recall that Scooter Braun is the reason Taylor Swift has been re-recording all of her music. He bought Taylor's former label in 2019, which means he owns the rights to her first six albums, and she went after him for that. She called him a bully. She said he had, quote, toxic male privilege and was, quote, motivated by shameless greed.
And of course, Scooter never contacted me or my team to discuss it prior to the sale or even when it was announced. I'm fairly certain he knew exactly how I would feel about it, though. And let me just say that the definition of the toxic male privilege in our industry is people saying, but he's always been nice to me when I'm raising valid concerns about artists and their rights to own their music.
The wild part is that, like, it wasn't just that he came into power and he was like, oh, Taylor, I'm gonna give you the opportunity to buy these songs. She said, oh no, I want my master's back. How much do I need to pay? And he was like,
give a number.
That's the thing. Like, he was like, you're not getting them
also,
back.
Also, you know who's good for payment? Taylor Swift. That girl's been rich since she was 8 years old. She's got the money.
In the words of Abby Lee Miller, it's not Discover Card, okay? Like, Taylor Swift has it, all right? Like,
she's
not.
Got it.
Listen. What are you worried about? So then, there's another thing I need to be mad at Scooter Braun about. So Scooter Braun is the reason all these Swifties are always fighting online, because now they have to go to bat for their hero, their shiro, when we could have just had nice discourse about her being a good artist. Now they have to be like, she's actually better than Michael Jackson and Jesus, because they want her to make money because this evil man was stealing from her. Like, do you understand? He's at the root of this.
My thing is, like, I'm fully in awe of Taylor Swift's mastery of the music industry. Mm-hmm. And I like a lot of those songs. But what's been annoying me about all the re-releases is that songs that I had already heard from Taylor 100 times 8 years ago, now I have to hear them again for 100 times. And no shade. But oh my God, that 10-minute song of hers, I've heard it for several years now, against my will.
Were you locked up somewhere? Were you chained?
What's the 10-minute song called? What's the 10-minute song where you're just like, damn, girl, we get it?
I mean, All Too Well.
All Too Long. Oh, they're going to come for me.
No one's on here saying Taylor Swift isn't a good artist. People saying
I know
her fans
not to... Taylor Swift
they
fans.
Go rabid. They go crazy. You could say, you could be like, oh, I really liked it. And the first comment would be like, not loved, bitch.
This is the thing. People think they should be scared of Beyonce fans. You should be scared of Taylor Swift fans.
I love Beyonce, but I'm not going to call up your job and try to get you fired for Beyonce.
Yeah.
But that's Taylor not Swift my job. Will. Taylor Swift fans?
Yeah.
They create accounts. They create multiple. They got three or four burners.
Moral of the story is Taylor always wins.
Ooh.
Boom.
Calling all female runners, it's time to lace up and join Team Milk. Since the 2022 New York City Marathon, Team Milk has sponsored female marathon runners nationwide, providing support and shining a spotlight on their unique stories, perseverance, and drive to go the distance. Why milk? Dairy milk is an excellent nutritional add for both marathon training and recovery. Milk contains 13 essential nutrients, including high-quality protein, making it a crucial component of a training diet. Plus, it's one of the best beverages for hydration, even better than water. The same electrolytes that are added to many of your favorite sports drinks are found naturally in milk. And in 2024, Team Milk is taking the next step to empower female runners by launching the only women's marathon in the U.S. designed for and by women. Built to be accessible, empowering, and community building, the inaugural Every Woman's Marathon will take place in Savannah, Georgia on November 16, 2024. You can learn more and register for the marathon at everywomansmarathon.com.
This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
Next, Jay, are you into or not into the USA Network basic cable drama Suits becoming one of the hottest shows this summer on streaming?
Mike Ross? Hi. I'm Rachel Zane. I'll be giving you your orientation.
Wow, you're pretty.
Good. You've hit on me. We can get it out of the way that I'm not interested.
No, I'm sorry. I wasn't hitting on you.
Trust me.
This old USA show is now the top show on Netflix. What is happening? There's a glitch in the Matrix.
No, I think that this is what people are discovering. People love a bunch of episodes. Yes. See, you know what? We've swung the pendulum too far. Now everything is 8 episodes, maybe 10, but eight episodes, season finale. So penultimate episode is number 7. Season finale is episode 8.
And then you got to wait 2 years for the next season.
That was 2 years because we wanted to shoot it on film for some round. Suits, you're getting 22 episodes. You're getting quippy banter. You're getting humor with some morally irresponsible characters. You're getting two different types of white guy, a quiet one and an evil one. You're getting
pre-royal Meghan Markle.
I've got a photographic memory, pretty much a legal superhero. I can recite the Constitution forwards, backwards, and sideways because I read it once when I was 7.
You're getting Gina Torres. You're getting a procedural drama.
Oh, you watch this show.
Wrapped up in a comedy. So you're getting everything that America likes, but everything that some of these studios and these production companies, but primarily these studios, don't want to pay for because they think, oh no, everything has to be this thing that we want it to be now instead of making good TV. I don't know why y'all are trying to make bad movies that end up just being 8 episodes instead of trying to make good TV that can be 22 episodes.
Well, there
you
go.
Now people are watching it.
So Vulture has been covering this, and they've been looking at research around what people watch on streaming and why they watch it. But for one, the story of Suits succeeding on streaming says that people actually want to watch basic cable quality stuff a lot. And two, this research that Vulture was citing basically says established series like Suits with a big back catalog, that's what gets people to stay on streaming services and not cancel subscriptions. So the research also found that the new flashy titles are way more effective in getting people to sign up in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
But what keeps them there is a show that has a bunch of episodes that they can just have on in the background, which is Suits.
Mm-hmm.
But the irony of this, and you know it, you're in the industry.
I know it.
The streamers refuse to make those kind of shows.
Not only that, are you ready for the second blow to the ego? So Suits was on USA, which for the kids,
USA was this thing that you could watch on a big old box.
On a TV with a fat back. You ever seen a fat TV? A thick body positive TV. A curvy TV, a realistic TV.
Yeah.
A TV and that looks like a TV that looks like your mom, your sister, your auntie.
Yeah. And the way that you would communicate with this thick box was with this black thing you held in your hand that didn't have a screen in it.
It had numbers on it, not just like the streaming the streaming services on it.
Yeah. And then once you got the thick box on, you couldn't tell it what to play, really. You could just choose from what it was already playing, which meant that if you were a 12-year-old closeted queer kid, you watched Steel Magnolias 100 times because it was always on.
I do not see plays because I can nap at home for free. And I don't see movies because they're trash and they got nothing but naked people in them. And I don't read books because if they're any good, they're going to make them into a miniseries.
When we talk about Suits, the other sad part is that it's blowing up on streaming, but
They're not getting points. That's the thing.
So, like, the wildest part of this is that it's blowing up great, but the writers won't see a benefit from this unless it was blowing up on the cable.
Old school TV. Yeah. Well, this is what's wild. It's like the success of Suits just shows you how screwed up the TV business model is right now. You have a show that is performing incredibly well years after it's canceled, and the compensation just is not there. And the people who should be making more shows like this aren't making more shows like this. I'm worried about y'all over there in TV Hollywood film land. Y'all have not figured it out yet. Y'all aren't. When it comes to the executives making these choices, Hollywood does not send its best.
Well, no, they're not sending their best.
They're not.
Well, I think also this is a really good example of people saying, oh, I know this is going to work versus real life examples of what is currently working and what could work in the future. You don't even have to look further than something like Abbott Elementary.
And the Emmy for writing for a comedy series goes to Quinta Brunson.
If you think about what happened with Abbott Elementary, it blew up. Network sitcom that also was on Hulu.
That's the model.
And Max. And so
the young kids are watching it, and your aunties are watching it, and everybody, that's what you want. Meanwhile, Hollywood is just determined to make me watch shows like Barry forever.
Well, and that's the other crazy
and bless Barry. It's a critically acclaimed great show, but you're doing 8 episodes every few years. It's just not the same.
We want things to both be a golden age of TV and have like small plate style tapas shows, but then we also are mad people aren't eating at like the kind of family friendly restaurants. We got to figure out that both can exist.
Both can be
both
true.
Both can definitely exist.
Both can be true.
But we can't turn everything into an 8 episode show. We really can't.
There you go.
And why? Because people are like, oh, they can swear and show titties. And it's like, well, my mama don't need titties. My mama don't need to see titties when she watches TV. My mom loves Abbott Elementary. My mom loved Modern Family. My mom is a teacher. My mom is a Southern woman of God. I know what my mama needs to see.
If Jay's mother showed up to the AMPTP negotiations, she could wrap it up. Like, listen here, kids. I need my stories back, okay?
The first thing she would say is, she would say, have you met my son? Okay, so.
I love it.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hi, this is Scott Galloway, professor of marketing at NYU Stern School of Business and host of the Prof G Pod. If you don't know me, the New York Times calls me the Howard Stern of business. Kara Swisher, super friggin' insightful, and Elon Musk, an insufferable numbskull. I think we're going to make up. I think we're going to go somewhere and do ketamine together. Each week on my show, the Prop G Pod, we bring you insights from Blue Flame thinkers, including my nemesis, Adam Grant. Super smart guy. My nemesis because he's really good. Or one of our favorite journalists, Fareed Zakaria. Fareed's a total gangster. And not only that, we provide listeners with a markets-driven episode every Monday. We answer our listeners' questions about business, big tech, and career pivots every Wednesday and get to listen to the sweet sound of George Hahn reading our newsletter every Saturday. That's right. The Prop G Pod is in your feeds 4 times a week. I'm like AOL in the 90s. To resist is futile. Put your hand into a box of cereal. Is it a tasty, sugary snack? Nope. It's the dog.
Final question for you. Are you into or not into the return of the Fyre Festival?
Sam?
Yes. I'm here.
Now, I know we're in agreement. If anyone agrees to go to Fyre Fest 2, if you give Billy more of your money, I hope Ja Rule personally punches you in the face and takes your wallet out of your purse. Do you hear me? If anyone falls for this a second time,
it's on you.
Not only is it on you, I hope that you are charged as a co-conspirator on the next crime.
There you go. And I'm calling Joe Biden right now and saying, do not send any emergency relief to these Firefest kiddos if it goes south.
The celebrities lied and were lied to. And then the real people were trapped there. This wasn't just like
people forget. So, yeah.
They didn't show up. The celebrities didn't show up. All the festival wasn't good. No. They were trapped.
They could not leave.
Kidnapping charges, really, if we want to look at it.
Yeah. For those who have already forgotten, Fyre Festival was this big Caribbean music festival that the creator Billy McFarland said was going to happen in the Caribbean. He had a lot of big name celebrities linked to the project, including Ja Rule, who was like shilling for Fyre Fest. But when it comes time for the Fyre Fest, all these young party going kids show up. There's no food. There's no venue. There are no artists. These kids end up sleeping in FEMA tents.
And it was the bus driver who said, oh no, that's where you're staying.
Mm-hmm. And getting sad, white bread, cheese, struggle plates.
And everybody had their phones out, and they were photographing this sandwich.
Mm-hmm. And they had to be rescued. So even after this thing goes so badly that Billy McFarland ends up in jail,
yes,
he's back out now saying, I'm doing it again. And he said he got the inspiration to do Fyre Festival again during his 7-month stint in solitary confinement.
Because as of right now, Fyre Festival 2 tickets are officially on sale. It has been the absolute wildest journey to get here, and it really all started during the 7-month stint in solitary confinement. I wrote out this 50-page plan of how it would take this overall interest and demand in Fyre, and how it would take my ability to bring people from around the world together to make the impossible happen.
You're never supposed to be in jail thinking, okay, but how can I get away with it this next time? That's not why they sent you there.
It's not why they sent you. I will say, though, watching Billy McFarland announce the return of Fyre Fest this week, my first thought was, oh, maybe Scooter Braun should manage him. Maybe.
Okay. I don't want to go, but... If,
I want to go just to laugh.
If someone can film it, take your dumb ass there and film it, someone for me, just because... Well, I don't even know how.
The tickets, the first tier of tickets have already sold out. The highest ticket price on the website for this new Fyre Festival is $7,999. I need to know who these people are buying these tickets.
You know what you could get for $8,000? You could almost get 2 Cartier bracelets. You could have tangible
things. You could go to Beyonce
things.
Like twice.
You could go to Beyonce twice. You might be able to buy some of Taylor Swift's masters. You could do a lot...
You could buy 7 seconds of Dear John with $8,000.
You know, there's so many other things you could do for $8,000 besides possibly get stranded in the Caribbean.
Fyre Fest was such a mess. There were 2 documentaries about it. Remember that? 2
yes,
documentaries.
2 document. But it did give us the very famous meme of Andy, who was like, I was willing to suck dick to get that water.
He said, Andy, if you will go down and suck Cunningham's dick, who's the head of customs, and get him to clear all of the containers with water, you will save this festival.
Oh, my God. Jesus.
Let me shut this game down before the next hurricane. Jay, you win. We're in agreement on Fyre Festival. We're in agreement on suits. We're in agreement on... Scooter Braun and saying, I guess good riddance, go to K-pop.
I think it's just because we have common sense.
There you go.
A lot of people
home training, as home our parents training. Might say.
Home training. Once again, home training, that shit don't cost $8,000. Did you know that? It don't cost $8,000.
It just costs years of therapy in adulthood. All right, to close out, I know we're done with the game. I know we're all done for this episode, but I could not have you here and not ask you for your thoughts on what is now the number one song in the country. This brand new artist named Oliver Anthony Music has a song out called Rich Men North of Richmond. And it's become a hit almost overnight. It's the 4th country song at the top of the charts in just a few weeks. But it has lyrics that seem to inflame the culture wars.
I wish politicians look out for miners, and not just miners on an island somewhere. Lord, we got folks in the street, ain't got nothing to heat, and the whole beast milking welfare.
God, I think we're in this moment now where if there's a country song that is meant to piss off half of America, it becomes a hit.
And now this one, Richmond North of Richmond, is supposed to be talking
also,
about...
Also, I hate the wordplay. It's hard to say. Richmond North of Richmond. Like, he thought it was really smart for that. Don't give me a tongue twister.
He's supposed to be talking about D.C. politicians not caring about the rest of the country. But like you said, he's like making fun of people who are on public assistance. And you're like, you mean white people in West Virginia?
Here's what he sang. I wish politicians would look out for miners, like coal miners, I guess, and not just miners on an island somewhere, M-I-N-O-R-S. I suppose that's shade against immigration.
No. So that's supposed to be an Epstein Island reference. Like, it's so weird and internet coded.
And I'm like, what are you talking about? And then later on, he sings, and this one really was weird to me. He sings, well, God, if you're 5'3" and you're 300 pounds, taxes ought not to pay for your bags of fudge rounds. Why fat people in it?
Why
are they in it?
And I'm not going to be body shamed by a redhead. That's definitely not going to happen. Ever, okay? Listen, I will put you outside with coconut oil on and watch you sizzle. Don't play with me. any sort of dog whistle to racism in the pop country genre can shoot to the top because people will be like, share this to make liberals mad.
And they'll game the system because if you buy a song on iTunes, it affects the chart placement more than if you just stream it.
Yes.
So a lot of the most recent iteration of the culture war from the right is buying offensive songs on iTunes. That's how we're fighting the culture war right now.
And Sam, are you ready for this other shoe to drop? So this is like even newer news. He did an interview and they were like, oh, we love your song. We love the messages in the song. We love what you're saying about bringing back Americana. And so then the artist was like, but I also think the melting pot of America is what makes it great.
I mean, we are the melting pot of the world, and that's what makes us strong is our diversity, and we need to learn to harness that and appreciate it and not use it as a political tool to keep everyone separate from each other, you know?
And all of his right-wing fans were like, boo!
They got mad at that?
Yeah.
They got mad at him saying it's a melting pot?
Yeah, they said...
Oh, my God.
They said that he had gone woke. It's the fastest I've seen someone go woke, according to them. So they got mad at the artist for having a somewhat way more nuanced take on what it means to be American and to celebrate your history as an American. But it's weird. We're in a weird.
It's weird.
You know what needs to happen? Place.
What?
And I'm saying this. We need Darius Rucker.
Oh, he could heal the wounds. He could heal the wounds.
All of this.
Only he can fix it. I was going to have us roll out with you making up some new lyrics for this song.
Oh, I'll make up some new lyrics. We can make up some new lyrics.
What are your new lyrics for Richmond, north of Richmond?
I think it'd be something silly like, and I hate to tell you that I think you're a fool if you think that teachers are trying to make your kids gay at school. Like, it'd be something like it'd be something like that. It would be something along the lines of, if this is your battle, you probably will fail. You can't vote for that motherfucker if he ends up in jail. Like that.
Oh,
like,
wow. Wow.
Mine would be like a rebuttal, like a rap beef. Like I would have like
a diss track.
I would take his beat though and remix
it. And make it a diss track and remix it.
Yeah, yeah.
I love that. Do that, but as you start this music career, don't let Scooter Braun manage you. Don't let him do it.
Sam, it's funny you say that. I have a message in my inbox from Hybe. They're saying, Jay, we would love to work with you. You probably know Scooter Braun. Yeah, I do know that name from somewhere.
It's happening. I cannot wait to see your K-pop debut.
Yes, I'm going to start my K-pop career. I'm going to be known, instead of Black Pink, I'm gonna be Black Twink. That's gonna be my K-pop group.
Thanks again to Jay Jordan, best friend of this show, comedian, TV staff writer, also on tour right now. Tell folks where to find tour tickets to see you, Jay.
You can find tour tickets at jayjordan.com. Also on my link, the website formerly known as Twitter, now it's just a print symbol. And also on Instagram, I'm on tour. I'm in Grand Rapids. I'm going to Toronto. Just type in my name on Google and it'll pop up. Take safe search off.
All right, Intuit is hosted by me, Sam Sanders. The show is produced by Janae West, Travis Larchuk, Gabi Grossman, Jelani Carter, and Taka Zinn. Our fearless editor is Jordana Hochman. Our engineer is Daniel Turek. Our music is composed by Breakmaster Cylinder. Scooter Braun, don't you ever buy his masters. I'll fight you myself. And the executive producer of audio at Vox Media is Nishat Kurwa. We're back Tuesday with a brand new episode. Until then, I guess go watch Suits. We all have to. It is written. Okay, bye.
Why do you run? Why does anyone?
I always thought that runners loved running.
And that's not the case. Most runners hate running. But they choose to do it.
In the new docuseries, Running Sucks, brought to you by Team Milk, Abby Ayers learns why women runners everywhere are driven to go the distance.
It really is about taking my power back and proving myself wrong.
Team Milk is about fueling women's performance and helping them along their marathon journeys. You can sign up now for the inaugural Every Woman's Marathon taking place in Savannah, Georgia on November 16th, 2024. Learn more and register at everywomansmarathon.com.